So grab your hymnals. We'll sing 397, Higher Ground.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful psalm, the song of saints on higher ground. And let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till I've nigh found, Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher.
Open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that you have given us where we can gather together, where we can worship you, we can bring prayer requests to you. Lord, we thank you for the promise that one day we will be living with you on higher ground. I pray that you would bless this service, that we would find it instructful, something we can use in the course of our lives. And we pray this in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Go over to 411. Number 411, The Solid Rock.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest ring, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before his throne. On Christ the sun, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
to 459. Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, 459.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the Everlasting Arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the Everlasting Arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the Everlasting Arms. What have I to dread, what have I to fear, Everlasting Arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the Everlasting Arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
Back a couple pages to 442. I know whom I have believed. 442.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me within my heart. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in him. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him again. I know not when my Lord may come, at night or noonday fair. If I walk the veil with him, or meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded
finish with 413. So if you could stand with me as we sing 413, Faith is the Victory.
Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be heard. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Is love, our sword, the word of God. We tread the road, the saints above, where shouts of triumph trod. By faith they like a whirlwind's breath swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquer death is still our shining shield. Faith is the victory. Shall begin before the angels, he shall love his name confessed in them. Then onward from the hills of light, arise with love aflame. We'll vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is the victory.
Thank you. May be seated.
Hey, thank you, Carl. Well, good evening, everybody. Glad that you're here this evening. Songs that we sang really fit well with the two individuals we're going to be looking at tonight and next Wednesday. We'll be looking at Joshua and Caleb. So if you have your Bible or Bible device, turn it with me to Joshua chapter 14. And although Joshua and Caleb did not know these songs, they knew the principles which these songs teach us, that our faith needs to be solidly placed in the Lord our God. And in order for us to have fortitude, we need to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might to be able to endure hard times. Joshua chapter 14, beginning at verse 6. And let me read through verse 14 here. Bible says, and the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Notice that phrase. Caleb is saying, I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. Oh, that we would be able to say that when we get to be 85 years of age. He said, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kiriath-Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims. The land had rest from war. So this is focusing upon Caleb and his faith and his trust in the Lord his God, following his God fully and wholly. Let's pray together. Father, as we bow in prayer, we pray, Father, that you would help us to take the example of Caleb and Joshua, two men that exhibited an unshakable, unbreakable faith and trust in your word. And in the days in which we live, Father, we need to be walking by faith and not by sight. We need to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, having on the whole armor of God as we face the wiles of the devil, temptations of the world, and the pull of the flesh, the sinful flesh nature that is still within us. Help us, Lord, to have victory as we exercise that faith. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to be victorious as well as we go through this life, that we would continue to walk in trusting you and guided by your word, empowered by your spirit to accomplish your will and purpose for your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. These two men, Joshua and Caleb, two men whose testimonies challenge us today. And I trust that you'll take that challenge as well for you as we begin this new year. We're already halfway through the first month of the year. It's hard to believe. But here we have a depiction of Caleb and Joshua trying to persuade the men of Israel. This we can do because God has promised to fight for us. He has given us this land. Yes, it's a land that flows with milk and honey. It's a land that has wonderful blessings for us. But any obstacles that you might have in your mind and in your sight, they're no problem for our great God. You see, they were looking at the great obstacles rather than focusing upon their great God to overcome those obstacles. But Caleb and Joshua were not like that. They both had their faith in God and the fortitude demonstrated that they were living their lives dependent upon God in all that they faced in life. His faith and fortitude, as far as Caleb was concerned, was as powerfully displayed at the age of 85 as it was at 40. The conquest of the land of Canaan was coming to a close, and these wanderers turned warriors were soon to become land-owning worshipers. And that for Caleb and Joshua, that was an exciting prospect for them. One region that had yet to be conquered, one foe that stood defiantly in the way against the armies of God, was here at Hebron. And Caleb said, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. And I'm going to have victory because God has promised to give me this land for myself and my inheritance. Joshua was ready to parcel out the land for the inheritances, and God had promised them through Moses this land. And we see that in verse 5. And let me just review that. As the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. We find in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24. Well, let me go to this first of all. Let's look at the deed to the land. And going back to 13th chapter, verses 7 through 33, and I'm not going to read all of these verses, But here's the deed to the land, Joshua dividing the land among the tribes. And a group of men, let me read verse 7. Now therefore divide this land for an inheritance unto the nine tribes and half tribe of Manasseh, with whom the Reubenites and the Gadites have received their inheritance, which Moses gave them beyond Jordan eastward, even as Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them. So in in verse 6, these men of Judah came to Joshua there in Gilgal. Caleb was there as well. And what he said was, let's rehearse the promise that God gave to us. Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee and Kadesh Barnea. God promised this land. He promised it to me. And so he rehearses that promise. Numbers chapter 14, verse 24. And I'll get to it here. But my servant Caleb, this is what it says in Numbers 14 and verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and has followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. There's the promise from the lips of the Lord himself to Caleb. He reviewed the path as well. How is this going to take place? How is this going to take place? Well, before Joshua divided up any more land, Caleb provided a deed in the form of a promise guaranteeing the future home of Judah. A Bible commentator by the name of Donald Campbell said this, Caleb's life was ebbing away, and he must make a choice. What did he still want most of all? In a remarkable address to Joshua, he reviewed the highlights of his life, and he made his request. His brief autobiography highlighted events at Kadesh Barnea during the wilderness wanderings and the conquest. And so he's going to review his younger years here back in chapter 14, verse 6 through verse 8. Remember, many years before, 10 spies, along with Joshua and Caleb, they came back with their report, and those 10 spies trembled at the sight of the giants living in fortress cities in the highest hills of Canaan. And those spies looked in the mirror, so to speak, and they saw themselves as grasshoppers in the sight of these giants. Numbers 13 and verse 33, and it says, we were in our own sight. That's an interesting phrase. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. What were they forgetting? They were forgetting that they had a great God. A great God who is mightier than these giants in the land. So to Caleb, these giants were small because he knew that his God was big. The 10 swayed 2 million people. Their cowardly report convinced a nation to abandon its faith and to bow to its fears. Oh, we must never abandon our faith. We must never bow to any fears that may confront us in our world today. And these cowardly spies perished, and the older generation died wandering in the wilderness. And only Joshua and Caleb, the two veterans, stood eye to eye. Southern Canaan, as we read here, was under the control of the Anakims, led by the mythic proportioned of Arba, was mentioned here in verse 15 of chapter 14. And in the hill country stood this city of Hebron, the highest and holiest point in the land. And that area included Machpelah, the burial cave, you remember the patriarch, Abraham and Sarah and the other patriarchs? So Hebron was the key to completing the conquest and receiving the blessings that that God had intended for the nation. Who would stand? Here's the question. Who would stand before the sons of Anak? And the one who answered that question, who was willing to take up that challenge, was 85-year-old Caleb. He was the one. Now, the middle years, we find beginning in verse 10 of Joshua 14. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Of course, 80 meaning 4 times 20, which would be 80, 85 years of age. So Caleb here is expressing his faith in God. 40 years of trusting God without complaint, without bitterness, as they wandered in the wilderness. 40 of those midlife years spent in the wilderness. And 5 more years forcibly evicting the Canaanites from the land. Yet he never complained. He was never bitter. He simply waited for God's timing. And he viewed his long life as a gracious gift from God, in spite of his circumstances. And so that's why he said there in verse 11, I am yet as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so my strength is now, for war both to go out and to come in. You know, I think of Caleb. The Bible calls that he had another spirit within him. It was an indomitable spirit. A spirit that was fully trusting his God. And that's the kind of spirit that you and I need to have as well. As we go through our life, as we continue to walk through our spiritual journey here upon earth. He refused to let his situation decrease his vigor. Isaiah 40, verse 31, you probably can quote this verse. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And that is a great verse. Caleb knew the principle of that verse. And you and I need to have that as well in our life. What about the latter years, or the later years? Verses 12 through 15. Caleb had hiked through this hill country in his younger years, and he saw the same fortified cities as the other 10. He saw the same giants, he saw their spears, their swords, etc. But where the 10 spies felt fear, Caleb expressed his faith in God. And you and I need to do that as well. How many times we read in the Bible, fear not. Don't be afraid. Trust God. And we need to express that faith in God. Rather than slip quietly into old age and leave the heaviest fighting for the younger men, Caleb requested Joshua this tough assignment. Give me this mountain. And Joshua blessed him. Gave unto Hebron, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. This man, Caleb, followed the Lord wholly. And we see that a couple of times mentioned there in verses 8 and 9. That word holy means fully, passionate, pursuing God's own heart. And we can certainly see that in the life and the testimony of Caleb. His attitude of fortitude convinced Joshua the land had rest from war. Going back a little bit in the inheritance of the land, the 2.5 tribes settled east of the Jordan River. That would be the Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh. And you can read about that in the beginning verses of chapter 13. This was land that was especially suited for cattle. But it was outside of the boundaries of the promised land. And that location made these tribes extremely vulnerable to military attack and ungodly influence. And we see and read in 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 23 through 26. their downfall. And I'm going to take, let's go there for just a moment. How many times do we go to 1 Chronicles as a reference? Well, we're going to do it here. 1 Chronicles chapter 5, beginning verse 23. It says, and the children of the half-tribe of Manasseh dwelt in the land. They increased from Bashan unto Baal Hermon and Seir and unto Mount Hermon. And these were the heads of the house of their fathers, even Epher and Ishi and Eliel and Azrael. By the way, that's my granddaughter's name, Azrael. I think that's where they got it from. And Jeremiah and Hodaviah and Jehadiel. Mighty men of valor, famous men and heads of the house of their fathers. But notice verse 25, and they transgressed against the God of their fathers. And they went whoring after the gods of the people of the land whom God destroyed before them. And the God of Israel stirred up the spirit of Pul, king of Assyria, and the spirit of Tilgath-Pilneser, king of Assyria. And he carried them away, even the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and brought them into Hala and Habor. And Hera, until the river goes on unto this day. Here we find a description of the downfall of those 2.5 tribes, because they were vulnerable to military conquests. They were vulnerable to ungodly influences. And this is a valuable lesson to us. Borderline believers are vulnerable believers. You and I need to wholly follow the Lord. We need to wholly follow the Lord. Some of the takeaways here. We're never too old to make new conquests of faith in the power of the Lord. Amen? We're never too old to do that. We need to be like Caleb. He wanted to go out of this world still trusting God fully and wholly. Capture mountains. Conquer giants. And, of course, we're talking here not literally, but oft times there are circumstances, challenges that we face that seem like mountains, giants in our sight. But let's remember we have a great and mighty God. We should never retire from trusting and serving the Lord. Focusing on the goal, finishing the race faithfully. And I think of what Paul wrote to Timothy there in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Another verse in Hebrews 12 and verse 2 says that we are to run the race with patience. We are to run the race with patience. We are to follow the Lord wholly, determined to exercise what could be called in the book that Eugene Peterson wrote, we need to have a long obedience in the same direction. That is a long obedience to the Word of God, recognizing that He is going to direct our path along His Word. And we need to have that long obedience in the same direction. Caleb's daring faith, I believe, rubbed off on his son-in-law, Othniel. Later, he became one of the judges in the book of Judges, there in the land. And it's interesting that Caleb's daughter was influenced by his faith, and she requested a field from her father, and then she requested springs of water to irrigate the land. Not only give me the upper springs, but also the lower springs in the land. She had faith in the God of Israel as well to irrigate the land and to bless her. Joshua chapter 15, verses 16 through 20. And that's where you'll find this transaction. Caleb said, he that smites Kiriath Sefer and takes it, to him will I give Aksa, my daughter, to wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it. And he gave him Aksa, his daughter, to wife. And it came to pass, as she came unto him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. She lighted off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, what wouldest thou? Who answered, give me a blessing, For thou hast given me a south land, give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Judah according to their families. And then lastly, your godly example of faith in the Lord is going to be more valuable to your family than any earthly possessions that you leave to them. Your faith is a valuable possession that you can leave with your children, with your grandchildren. Joshua chapter 24, and we'll look at this next time. Talks about Joshua's challenge to the people. And we're going to look at that next week. Caleb had an indomitable spirit. He refused to let his situation, again, decrease his vigor. And so you and I need to follow the Lord wholly, passionately, pursuing his heart as we seek to serve our God on a daily basis. We face difficult times. You know, with the fires going on in California, with all of the political wrangling that's going on in our country, these are difficult days. And the Bible says that times are going to wax worse and worse. And oh, how we need to be faithfully following the Lord, proclaiming his word, exercising that faith. As Paul wrote to the Colossians in Colossians 2 and verse 6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. How did you receive Christ? By faith. How are you to walk? By faith and not by sight. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for the challenge that both Caleb and Joshua give to us here. And I pray, Lord, that we would seek to be wholly following you with a long obedience in the same direction, learning the lessons that Caleb's example of faith and Joshua's example of faith as well and their fortitude in trusting you to guide them and lead them to accomplish your will and purpose. May we be the same. May we be challenged by what Paul wrote to the Corinthians as he closed out that 15th chapter of the first letter, where he said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, we will thank you for that in Christ's precious name. Amen. In your bulletin for this past Sunday, I noticed here that Wendy has included a little chorus. We're not going to sing it. But I want you to look at it. It's on the green sheet here. Doubt versus faith. Doubt sees the obstacles. The 10 spies saw the obstacles, didn't they? Faith sees the way. Doubt sees the darkest night. Faith sees the day. Doubt dreads to take a step. Faith soars on high. Doubt questions, who believes? Faith answers, I. And what a challenge that is to us as well. Prayer requests that you may have. I wanted to mention a couple of things. First of all, thank you again for praying for us, for our safety and our travels. I know perhaps I've mentioned it to some of you. We had a little traffic accident on our way to the airport in Miami. There were two vehicles bringing our group to the airport. Jordan, Ben, and myself, and our driver from the mission, we were in a truck in front with all the luggage in the back. Nan and Kaylee and Delaney were in the car behind us with another lady. It's a little Kia. And another vehicle was in a hurry and wanted to get into the express lane that we were in. And there are barriers. They're not very formidable. They're just plastic tubes that you can run over. And that's what they did and ran right in front of us, and we smashed into the side of that vehicle. Their airbags deployed. Thankfully, our airbags did not deploy. And nobody was hurt. At least seriously, there was one gal in the vehicle that maybe was a little bit shocked by what happened. Maybe the airbag hit her. But we are thankful that nobody was hurt. The vehicles were extensively damaged, as you can imagine. Well, anyway, we were able to, after about a half an hour or 45 minutes, we had to get to the airport. And, you know, how are we going to do that? Well, the policeman said, well, go ahead and pile into the car behind you with the ladies with all of the luggage. And we did. Have you ever seen those cartoons with clowns coming out of the vehicle? They just keep coming and coming and coming. That's what we looked like at the airport, getting out of that car. But thank you for praying for our safety in our trip. Also, pray for Mike Mignard. He has surgery coming up this Friday. I believe it's hernia surgery. Also pray for Marvin Porter. He'll be having this lump that's on his cheek removed, and it'll be February 6th. Keep those in mind as you pray for them. Any other prayer requests? Any answers to prayer? Yes. Felicia.
Thank you.